You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM, listener-supported community radio, and this is the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm your host this morning, Denise Morris. In our second half of our program, we'll hear Sophie Smith talk with Jan Hawken about the politics of migration and her co-authored report describing a search and rescue crisis in the borderlands. Jan?
Welcome to KBOO, Sophie Smith.
Thanks so much for having me, Dan.
We'll be talking today about a recently published report that you co-authored on missing migrants in the Southwest borderlands. But before we take up the findings in that report, let's talk about your assessment of what's happening now at the border. You've been a humanitarian aid worker in Arizona through a number of administrations now, from the Obama years through Trump and now the new Biden administration. How would you characterize the situation this past month? And is there a crisis? And if so, for whom?
Yeah, I think that the what's called the crisis at the southern border, unfortunately, is nothing new, although new populations are being brought into what is really a deadly system on the border in terms of how the flow of people, the movement of people migrating is being controlled by U.S. policies. So we're definitely seeing more and more people fleeing from especially the Northern Triangle as a consequence of extractive neoliberal policies that have been advanced by people like Joe Biden in the past. What I think is really not being covered in terms of the crisis on the southern border is the way in which people closing the southern border, as we saw Mayorkas do this week, means closing conventional border crossings, so ports of entry, and not allowing asylum seekers to present themselves, which doesn't simply shut down the border, but actually causes many people to then attempt irregular border crossings between ports of entry through extremely remote desert areas along the southwest border, like where I live here in Aravaca, Arizona, which has over the years, since 1994, since the walls were first put up in border cities, and really we started to see a buildup of militarized style enforcement in and around ports of entry, has led to the recorded deaths of at least 8,000 people, although that number is believed to be likely about 10 times higher, because many people who perish attempting this deadly crossing through remote areas rather than presenting through ports of entry perish in areas where their remains are never recovered or never identified. So what has been ongoing since about 1994 is not only a crisis of unaccompanied children and sort of the headlines that we're seeing now, but a crisis of both death and really of disappearance as a consequence of U.S. policy for the approach to controlling the migration from south to north in the region.
Well, let's continue with more of the findings in this report, titled Left to Die, Report on Missing Migrants and Borderlands. It was published by the humanitarian aid organizations No More Deaths and La Colación de Derechos Humanos. And as a co-author of that report, you worked with a number of aid organizations that are involved in search and rescue operations in that region. And what about this aspect of the tragedy of lives lost on the border? There's been much over the last few years about kids in cages, children torn from the arms of their mothers, but less on this suffering and death, kind of on the periphery of what's galvanized some of the moral outrage about migrants at the borders. Say a bit more about the missing migrants, because it's a different picture and more peripheral to the suffering that people are more familiar with.
So whereas we might see more and more kind of media exposure of what's happening in and around ports of entry in terms of encampments, caravans, people being arrested and held in detention, like I mentioned, the hardening of controls at those ports of entry have led so many people to attempt to cross the border through the deserts in areas that are really unseen and unexposed to media coverage. And so this report really focused in on those areas, on what happens in this crisis in which, as you can imagine, as more and more people attempt to cross through the desert to enter the U.S., this has caused not only a crisis of death and disappearance, but a search and rescue crisis, as many people on a daily basis come into distress. They run out of food or water to survive, become injured. Lower extremity injuries are extremely deadly in remote areas, and separated from their traveling companions as a consequence of aggressive border patrol tactics in the backcountry, like the use of helicopters to swoop down and scatter groups that are traveling together, separating people from their companions who then become lost to the wilderness. So as a consequence of this, for those who do have access to a cell phone and are able to place a call, there are many, many calls of distress ringing out every day to both family members in the United States and to 911 call centers. Here in Pima County, which has seen about 50% of the recorded deaths of people crossing the border, there's an average of 4.5 stress calls from those crossing the border, calling for rescue, calling for emergency services on a daily basis. This report scrutinizes what is the role of government agencies in terms of responding to this crisis of search and rescue. Are government agencies mobilizing in response to the distress calls of the undocumented on U.S. soil? And what we find by looking at the records kept by a community-based hotline run by Derechos Humanos, which is a migrant justice organization, what we find by scrutinizing the records of 500 emergency cases that came into their hotline in which they were advocating for a government response is that there's really a segregated emergency response system in the borderlands, one in which all 911 call centers, all law enforcement agencies, all consulates are forwarding emergency calls from those perceived to be undocumented and crossing the border away from conventional emergency services that would mobilize in response to you or I if we came into distress hiking in the same exact geographies in southern Arizona. And they funnel these calls to the U.S. Border Patrol to be handled. Now, the U.S. Border Patrol spends 99% of its budget annually on enforcement activities. It is not, by any definition, a robust search and rescue outfit, and yet all of these calls are being funneled to Border Patrol. And what we find is that when it comes to the outcomes of these cases, that Border Patrol 40% of the time outright refuses to respond to emergency calls from those in distress, refuses to mobilize their resources, maintains an enforcement priority in terms of their activities on the border, and refuses outright to take any action whatsoever. And that over 25 of these cases end in the death or disappearance of the person. And this is just radically diminished in terms of the provision of life-saving services when compared to the search and rescue outfits that will mobilize for someone like you or I, or tourists who are hiking in the same area, which have a 99% success rate in locating the missing person, whether they locate them alive or deceased. But we see that disappearance is a really normalized outcome with these calls that get forwarded to Border Patrol.
One of your findings that you've documented in previous reports describes how this very crisis of migrants in remote areas struggling to find a place where they can live and breathe is actually created this crisis. And as Border Patrol push people to more and more hostile and dangerous terrain. So it's not simply that people wandered off a trail and recklessly pursued a path through dangerous terrain. Could you say a little bit about why so many people are in these difficult situations crossing the border? Because I think most of what gets covered are points of entry or the areas along the border where, you know, the Trump wall has been constructed. And the irrationality of that, I think, is apparent to many, if not most. But not these other aspects of more remote terrain.
So you're absolutely right, Jan, that this scenario in which people are crossing through remote areas is highly engineered and is a product of an explicit policy that was adopted by the U.S. Border Patrol in 1994 called Prevention Through Deterrence. And it was designed in partnership with the Department of Defense. Strategists who were practiced in regime change, carrying out regime change in Latin America, low-intensity conflict doctrine. And the idea was that the border could not be fully sealed. The southern border could not be fully sealed, but it could be controlled by making undocumented border crossing as dangerous and deadly as possible. with the intention to have a deterrent effect, that it would prevent others from attempting the journey once enough people had suffered and died attempting the crossing. And so for this reason, we start to see after 1994, walls go up in and around urban areas, surveillance technology, concentration of agents in and around these urban areas with the explicit intention to deflect undocumented migration out into the open of the desert where people can find themselves in what they term in their policy documents, mortal danger. So this is absolutely the intended effect of the kind of design of enforcement activities out here. And then we also document in our earlier reports in the series the kind of daily tactics used by Border Patrol, like the use of helicopters that I mentioned, that force people into situations in which they lose their supplies, lose their companions, and are very likely to not survive. And so we see this scenario. And in our report, we compared the numbers of cases within these nearly 500 emergency cases handled by this community hotline, the number of cases in which the distressed person reported having been scattered by a Border Patrol helicopter or ground patrol as a cause of them coming into distress versus the number of cases in which there was a record of a Border Patrol mobilization to save that distressed person's life. And we found that Border Patrol agents are twice as likely to take part in causing someone to come into distress than they are in participating in their rescue. So no matter how much funding goes towards Border Patrol so-called search and rescue, we know that they will only be responding to a crisis of their own making. So our conclusion is that Border Patrol should have no business in the provision of emergency services, that they're a militarized law enforcement agency, and that the root causes of what are putting people in the desert to begin with need to be addressed, that we need to see the demilitarization of the border, particularly in and around ports of entry, the decriminalization of border crossings, a pathway for people to be able to safely present themselves at the border rather than attempting these really harrowing journeys.
People often don't realize how historically recent the hardening of the border between the U.S. and Mexico is, that for even earlier in my adult life, you could cross quite easily between U.S. and Mexico. And this hardening and militarizing of the border has become a politically constructed boundary that you're saying both the Democrats and the right wing have mobilized around as an illusory form of protection of U.S. citizens. And thinking now with the Biden administration and Democratic Party policies, what do you see as the new discourse around the border as Biden has emphasized a humanitarian approach addressing the root causes? And Kamala Harris has also pledged that kind of a more humanitarian touch.
Yeah, I think what we can expect is something similar to what we saw under the Obama administration, which was quite a bit of rhetoric and some important policies that served a minority population of undocumented people already within the U.S. to provide some pathways to relative status and stability, but with the trade-off being ballooning funding for what they call border security, which is actually border militarization and the heightening of these kinds of tactics that put people in mortal danger. So we see this kind of bundling.
Different kinds of walls.
Yes. We see the kind of promotion of smart border technology in the place of border walls and the pairing of a pathway to citizenship in their language with increased border security spending. And I think it's really important that our movements not repeat this kind of political compensation if we're really here to support the dignity and survival of all people, regardless of status. We need to both promote decriminalization and demilitarization and not accept these huge contracts going out to border security outfits to further militarize the southern border as a trade-off for kind of marginal pathways to citizenship.
Well, thank you, Sophie Smith, so much for your report today, and we look forward to your quarterly reports. We'll link the interview with you today to the report, Left to Die, Report on Missing Migrants in Borderlands. Thanks so much for being with us today, Sophie Smith.
Thank you so much, Jan. Thank you.
just about this time I get the feeling I'm lost. Time keeps creeping in and beating at my brain, and I'm getting the feeling I'm lost. Treat me right, baby mine. Treat me right, baby mine. And your love is like a knife. In the darkness you are kind, touch and gentle all the time. That's gone, and your love is like a knife.